This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
Welcome to the Swim Swam podcast. I'm your host, Coleman Hodges. Joining me today, Arizona State's Bob Bowman and Rachel Stratton Mills to talk about the Sun Devils swimming over the last year and a half, really. Bob, Rachel, how are you doing today?
Doing well. Great. Thank you.
Thanks for having
us together.
Excited to pick you guys' brains this morning, starting with the NC State invite in Greensboro. The Sun Devils had quite a showing. Rachel, let's start with you for the women's side. How'd you feel about the Sun Devils and their performances in Greensboro?
Well, I think for all of us, we are excited to be back to racing. After the year off the year before, there was a lot of enthusiasm. So that was nice to be back on deck at an invite. On the women's side, Emma Nordine had some tremendous swims. Obviously, we are really proud of her performance. And then, you know, we have two full classes, a freshman and sophomore class, who've never swum at a meet like that. So there was a lot of learning going on, you know, from the athletes and as coaches, just seeing how people perform, helping them understand how a meet like that works. So it was a great step in terms of this entire season.
Yeah. I would say in terms of the men's side, we, you know, we had obviously had a very good meet, at various stages of preparation, depending on who was in what group, and top to bottom, we had a very, you know, we were solid. We had good time drops. We had improvements that are going to be meaningful, and mainly we got everybody qualified for NC2As, which is, something we just wanted to have out of the way. And so we have some more flexibility with how we approach Pac-12s.
Sorry about this light. I think it'll be gone in a few minutes.
Dramatic.
But yeah. If you're listening, you don't know what I'm talking about. But if you're watching on YouTube, my apologies. But getting back to the swim meet. Rachel, you mentioned it's a learning process for coaches and athletes, which I think certainly on the media or on the fan side, that's something we don't always take into consideration or don't always think about. You know, at a mid-season, we kind of forget, right, that that's the halfway point, right? You're still learning a lot. You're still getting those data points. What are some of the things that you feel like you did pick up from that meet and that you're kind of retooling and thinking about now heading into the rest of your season?
Well, I think especially anytime you have a group of freshmen, and again, some cases the sophomores, we see how they responded to the training they've done so far. And so we're able to see where they were, how they were in each race. And I know for me, that just helps me go back and fine tune what we're going to do the second part of the season in terms of each athlete and how to just step up their training and get them in the place where I know we all want them to be at the end of the season.
You know, I feel like what we try to share with the guys is that this was a good meet. We did quite well, but it doesn't mean anything if we don't get better, right? We have to improve, do better at Pac-12s, and do better at NC2As for us to feel like this is the kind of season that we want to have. So I think for me and Herbie on the men's side, Logan, we had some benchmarks we wanted to hit training wise, and we hit those, and we kind of saw what they did off of that. And now we can kind of adjust the training and actually change it. In my case, my group's going to really change some things that hopefully will elicit some better responses and improve performances. But, you know, as nice as that was a nice weekend in Greensboro. It's definitely not a season, and it doesn't signal anything about us except we can swim well when we're prepared well.
I think that's an interesting point too, just because you guys obviously didn't have a mid-season meet last year. I'm curious just to know, what was the level of enthusiasm or even like nervousness with especially those underclassmen heading into this meet, really not knowing what to expect? And for the upperclassmen, you know, them having not been to a meet like this in 2 seasons or 2 years.
I think our team's made up of a lot of people who love the sport. So there's a lot of enthusiasm, right? Our coaches do, we do. And so while some people, of course, get nervous at a big meet, I think going into Greensboro, there was a lot of excitement. You know, these athletes committed all year last year just to the process and the training. And so to get up and showcase that, there was definitely a lot of excitement.
Yeah, I think it was more excitement just to be racing. You know, half our team had never raced in a meet like that. So it was really exciting for them to get up and do these relays against NC State and Stanford and these very strong teams and kind of feel what that energy is like. Because no matter what we did here at home the last year, whatever situation we put them in, it wasn't anything like that. And so you have even very experienced swimmers like Léon Marchand, Olympic finalist, came out of that first relay. He's like, wow, that was something, you know? Like, yeah, congrats. Your first yard 200 was pretty good. 132. We'll take it. Right. So, you know, but I think the whole team was just so glad to be back in that environment, and it really lifted everyone's performances.
I do want to talk about Leon specifically. He had a pretty outstanding meet himself for, you know, his first rested, suited, whatever preparation you guys had, meet in yards coming off of his Olympics. What do you feel like you've been seeing from him in training in terms of just what you see as a coach, kind of maybe what surprises you or what you expected? And then for him as a swimmer, adapting to the yards format, to the collegiate format.
Yeah. Well, I've been pleasantly surprised in everything he's done in training. And I think the biggest surprise to me is that he's very good underwater. You can't really tell that in the long course swims. I mean, you knew he had good kickouts, but he is very good underwater. So for the short course, that bodes well. Leon is one of these special swimmers who has pretty much everything. He has very good technique. He's very well coached. He's good underwater. He has speed almost all the time, and he can handle a volume of training. So it's like, you know, coach's Christmas, early Christmas, whenever he comes. He's done a very good job, very consistent job in the training, and trained very hard. And I'll tell you exactly what he did for this meet. It's just pretty basic, but I trained him normal up until about Friday before the meet, meaning 7K a session. Just kind of, we haven't really gone that much over 7K a session with him. I'm trying to gradually build his volume. But he did Saturday off, the whole group, my group took Saturday off. And then we did 4 days before the meet. And it was a very, you know, genius progression of 4,500, 3,500, 2,500. And I can't go to 15. So it was 2,500 the last day too, just singles. So you do everything normal until Friday before, took Saturday off, dropped the weights, of course. So he missed 2 weight sessions, and then he did not shave for the meet. So I felt like off of that, that was a very good performance for him. He is still figuring out the walls, and you know, in the 200 fly, he's only done maybe 3 of them yards. So even in the final, when he went 140, he missed every wall because the way his stroke is, he just kind of hits it like this, you know, or too long or too short. So we're working on timing that better. So I think there's a lot of room for improvement, but obviously, the consistent training that he does and the high level training that he does has carried over to the meets, and that's nice to see.
Rachel, do you work with Leon? Do you have any notes on him or what you've seen from him over the past few months?
I don't work with him on a daily basis in the pool, but we do a lot of things together in terms of, you know, team planning and communication with all the athletes. And just from that perspective, he's a dream, right? He's just so wonderful and polite. So if he matches that in the pool, like Bob says, he's just a wonderful person to have on the team. So it really is like a wonderful gift to the program in so many ways.
Yeah. He's extremely humble. He's a great student. He's on an academic scholarship. So is everything you want as a college coach, right? he makes A's in the pool and in the classroom. He is a great teammate and doesn't have one bit of ego about him. So it's really fun to have him be here and elevate everything we're doing, because where he really improves our program is on a daily basis. The baseline level of everything we're doing is higher when he's doing it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's been his biggest contribution for the team.
And so also similarly, Rachel, you mentioned Emma, who posted, I think, three nation leading times in her respective events. She's obviously been on the team. I think she's a senior this year. You know, she's been around the block, took that extra year with you guys last year. And I'm curious what you've seen from her, especially after the year she had in long course meters last year, where she was just going to meets, performing really well, you know, certainly put herself in contention for that Olympic team. And then coming into this year, just kind of picking up right where she left off. And I'm curious about what you've seen from her in training, and also kind of the leadership and the outside of the pool X factor that she's brought in that way.
Her resilience has been amazing. You know, to come off of her year where NCAAs was canceled when she was leading time in the nation, then a year where we didn't participate, she had an amazing summer. She's just back this year, ready to keep it going. That's hard for a few years in a row to kind of have these little, what could be taken as letdowns, but she's just kept her focus. She's a tremendous student, also plans on going to dental school when she's done. And so puts a lot of focus on that. And she's definitely more of the quiet leader in terms of the team, but just shows up every day. And when you have someone who can perform like that, when the team needs it, that's something everybody is learning from, and watch her train every day and watch her get up at these meets and do things for the program year after year is something that every swimmer on our team has been able to watch and hopefully emulate just a little bit as the program gets better, just because she's just been a staple of like outstanding high level swimming for the last few years.
So then piggybacking off of that, I am curious about last year. Did you guys do anything differently in terms of how training groups were formed or how you were approaching training because you didn't have the midseason, the conference, the NCAAs as kind of those checkpoints? I'm curious as how the year of training was formatted, just because, like you said, you didn't have those competitions to look forward to.
Well, to be perfectly honest, COVID kind of dictated what we did in the first semester last year, right? There weren't any vaccines. So if anybody was close to anyone who had it, they were out for 2 weeks. So we had, you know, I'm sure as many people who were struggling to get their program together, a lot of people who were missing time for those kind of reasons. So we just had a program that just kind of kept going all the time, and people would come and go. So I think just trying to have a consistent kind of basis of training through the fall, at least. And by the time we got to January, I feel like we were pretty solid. So I think that's the difference, is instead of being targeted at a certain meet, we were just basically trying to give them enough work to make up for what they had already missed, which was quite a bit, which was part of our plan when we didn't compete, because we knew that was going to be a struggle, right? Trying to get people able to be in the water. Our clearance protocols were challenging just to get people cleared to practice. You know, we started in August. We have people that didn't practice till November, just for different things, you know? So that whole period of time for us was just kind of like, I was explaining this to, who's I talking about? Olivia, right? You know, there's Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? We were in the food, clothing, and shelter part for the whole fall. Just give them the basics of what they need to get through, so that when we got into the new year, we could kind of, you know, start ramping it up. And that's exactly what we did. So I'd say the training was more general, and it was more, kind of just trying to rebuild their capacity that was lost over the summer. Yeah.
This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty large black bags.
I was thinking the same thing, especially the freshmen in the dorms, right? We just showed up every day and trained who was there and hoped we could get through this. But it was nice to not compete because it just took a little pressure off of everyone. You know, if somebody was a close contact and they had to be out, just let them take a deep breath and know that they were going to get back to it. And they didn't have this looming meat over their shoulder that they were worried about being ready for. So.
And then coming into this season, going back to normal, or, you know, just have it, knowing that you'll have those check marks or knowing that you'll be competing again, how have you structured the training format, the training groups differently than you did 2 years ago? You know, the last time you were competing?
We did. And what we've done is the groups have been split a little bit more along men and women, right? So we've split the men and women off pretty much into separate groups for training, except for our real distance group. And that kind of was a group that was part of the Oranges, which is the group that I coached last year. And we have enough distance swimmers now that we felt like that needed its own, you know, world. So Logan Herka has taken over coaching the real distance group, which includes Emma, Erica Lanning, Dylan Gravely, national team open water guy. So we wanted to really focus more on that. So he took that group. The Oranges have evolved into basically a group of men, college men, who do 400 IM, 500, 200 free. You know, there are a couple outliers in there. Jack Dolan's still in there. Olivia's in there, who might not be your 500 people, but they definitely want to swim 200 meters or 100 meters, and they fit that sort of training profile. Rachel is coaching now a group called the Kiwis. Am I right? I got all the fruits right.
Yeah.
We had to add fruits.
Kiwis.
The distance group is grapefruits, right? So it's oranges and grapefruits because they're kind of closely related. And Rachel has the Kiwis. And then Derek has taken apples.
Apples.
Which is more of a counterpart to the group that I'm coaching, the oranges for women. So, you know, there's a kind of MD and women, which are the apples, more sprint oriented women, which are the Kiwis. And then Herbie still has the mangoes, which is the men sprinters, you know, which is kind of its own little world as well. So I think those are the main differences, you know, and I kind of like to think of them as areas, right? Because, you know, the guy that went 19-1 is swimming with the 400 IMers. That doesn't mean that's not where he should be. It means it is where he should be. So you can't define a group necessarily by all the X's and O's that go on there. I think you just define it by what we think a person needs at a certain time in their career. You know, Grant House is in the mangoes and he's doing exceptionally well, but he spent 3 years in the oranges because we thought that's where he should be. And now it's kind of a logical progression to go to the mangoes. Same with Cody Bybee, same with Evan Carlson. It's sort of a system we're evolving as we go. So, you know, we just try to pick the best place for a swimmer at a certain window of time and then kind of go from there, you know, see how they're doing, see what we need to add, see what we might change. And, you know, sort of take it individually.
So I find this interesting because I've talked to some coaches recently who like kind of do the opposite where they'll rotate groups and the swimmers might stay the same, but you have, you know, you have the coaches staying the same and the swimmers might rotate. Yeah. So question for both of you, and Bob, we can start with you, but how do you write workouts knowing that you're coaching the same kind of group every day, right? But you might have different athletes coming in and out.
Yeah. Well, honestly, the athletes aren't changing that much.
Okay.
They really aren't changing. The groups are pretty static. Mm-hmm. The only difference with that is like we have like Olivia who's training, you know, she does her base of training in the oranges. But when Rachel does power work with the women, she does that work with them because I think it's more relative to what she needs versus the power work the men's and the oranges do. And quite frankly, I haven't done any all fall. Oh my gosh, how did they swim? no bucket, no anything. He just did training. 19-1. I don't know. It's crazy, but we might add some, right? That's coming up. So, you know, that's a limited way that that happens. But in general, people are in their groups. And because, you know, we don't want to mix and match too much because then people kind of get lost. But yeah. I'm talking about we may change them from year to year or season to season. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Or there might be blocks where they would go. Like there have been times of the year where Cody Bybee did the Christmas training with the middle distance group and then went back and did all the sprint for the whole spring. You know, so I think there are blocks like that that make sense. We try to get away from a lot of like individual practices, unless it just makes sense. Like in Olivia's case, that makes sense. And we also think she should swim with women sometimes, right? Instead of all guys, you know, she likes both, but I just think it makes sense for her to do that. And it's good for the women to have her in that group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In the past, we had people move from group to group more often. And just like Bob said, we just felt like they got lost. So they weren't quite getting what they needed. Something would be missing each training cycle. So we really have them staying where they are for most of the season. But, you know, I think something we do, we sat down after midseason, take a look at how each person did. And then we moved a few people around in groups. And then we'll do the same thing after the entire season. And then if we need to rearrange the groups, put more people in a different spot, we do it then. And I think that's been working out better than having people move around from day to day or week to week.
Yeah. I just think you have a better feel for it. If it's the same coach and athlete, you can change the training, right? So what Jack Dolan does is not what Leon does every day. I mean, a lot of it, sometimes they just do the same program. Like this morning, they did the same thing. But when we come in this afternoon, they'll probably do similar, but different, right? And sometimes they'll be completely different. But it's just more of a having the same coach sort of know what they did instead of him going somewhere and then coming back and not having a real feel for how he did over there or how it was when he came back. So I feel like that's important.
Gotcha. And for you as coaches, how like, you know, just on a personal level, how do you like just having one group that you know you're coaching, especially writing workouts every day for that group? Do you feel like you're operating well under those circumstances?
Yeah, I do. I think we can track on each person and just make sure we know they're getting what they need and watch it from day to day and make those adjustments. Like, just like we had said, when they go away for a day or another day, you're not quite sure they're actually getting what you think they need. So for me, it just feels nice to have the athletes and take them through the entire training progression through the season. And then I think it helps us from year to year because you're really knowing what the athlete's getting out of your plan. And if you have athletes moving around, is your plan working or is it the other, you know, so I think that helps in terms of year to year success as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like, I know the group that I work with this fall has by far been the best training group that I've had at ASU in terms of the level, the intensity, the volume, all of the variables have been the best that we've had. And I think that's a big part of it is that, you know, we've number one, got the right people here to do what we want to do. They're willing to take the challenge. They have the attitude, but we can kind of week to week put things together because we know how they reacted to last week, what we did this week. And I mean, the last week, when they got back from Thanksgiving that's the best week of training we've had since I've been at ASU. So I'm super excited about it. And I just think it's easy to build off of those things.
You're telling me they came back stuffed full of turkey and mashed potatoes and that was the best week of training you've had.
Well, they must have had a lot of fuel and I gave them a lot of opportunities to burn it. So, you know, it just somehow worked out pretty well, you know, and, you know, we also tried to sell them on the fact that, you know, we had our invite and we came back, we trained for a little bit, went home, did your thing. And some stayed, you know, we kept training, you know, the foreign kids stayed and we trained them, had a great week. And then we want to use this week while the other people are having their invite. We want to go to work, right? That's an advantage for us. In my mind, we get to go back to work. So we had a tremendous week in terms of quality and volume. I thought it was quite good.
Rachel, what did you think of this post-Thanksgiving week?
My week of training with the Kiwis was amazing too. It's kind of that success at midseason really motivates you to work harder, right? It's amazing how success breeds success. So they're excited. They know the work they did was beneficial. So they want to do more of it because they want to be even better at the end of the season. So it was definitely a great first part of the season. And there's a lot of motivation to be even stronger, even better going forward. Mm-hmm.
So you guys brought up Olivia, and I did want to talk to you guys about the postgrads. You've got Olivia, you've got Haley, who both just swam in the ISL final for Cali Condors. Ryan Held is also on campus at ASU. So what has it been like? Well, we can start with Olivia. You know, she just got there. We talked to her about training at ASU and kind of how she flip-flops between Rachel and Bob. But adding that post-grad to both training groups, what do you feel like that's added to those training groups, again, with success breeding success?
Rachel?
For us, the culture of our program is incredibly important. I've talked about how we have a lot of people who love the sport, and it's a very positive place when you walk on the pool deck. And Olivia just embodies that in every way. And so I know for the women who have an opportunity to train with her a few times a week, they've already talked about how much they've learned about just kind of the joy she brings to practice. She always is in good spirits, works incredibly hard, of course, but I personally just love that coming to the women's program, is to see someone who's very successful, understands the importance of hard work, but can love it and enjoy it and come in with a great attitude every day. So for me, that's been a huge plus having her around.
Yeah, she's just been great. You know, I've known her for quite a while, and obviously Jack and I have very similar philosophies in some areas. So it was kind of a seamless transition from that standpoint. Same with Haley, right? It's pretty easy for Georgia kids to come here. Allison, you know, we speak the same language in many ways. But I think for us with Olivia right now, it's sort of, our goal was to get her through that month before she did the ISL, now come back. And this is like the starting point, right? There's some goals that she has for the long course meets, and we're going to start working on those. And we've made some technical adjustments, which I think were relatively successful. But you know, really for Haley and Olivia coming off the ISL, this is when it all starts for them. Haley, we enforced a break after the Olympics, which she did not want to take, but she had to take it anyway. I just insist. I was like, you know, you have to take a break, because she trained so hard. And I think it was good for her. She came back, did some pretty credible times in ISL. She'd probably like to be better, but I felt like they were pretty good. And now she's ready to come back, and we'll just start our program towards the World Championship Trials, you know, in the spring. Ryan has been here all spring. He trains with Herbie with the Mangoes exclusively. Great program for him. And he's going to Short Course World. So he's in a little bit of a different situation in that I think he's had a very good preparation all fall and will be ready to really light it up at Short Worlds. I'm excited to see what he does. But one of the things that we've done with our post-grad program, and that I think really makes sense for us, is we don't have a pro group where they train separately. Quite frankly, I've done that a few times, and it is logistically very hard to make it all happen. And there's only so much bandwidth we have as coaches, right, to make this stuff happen. So I think if they can fit into what we're doing, like Haley, she fits into that orange group like it was made for her. And she does everything those boys do and beats them on half of it, right, sometimes. That's perfect for her. And it's good for the guys, right? They benefit from having her there, because she never gives in. Olivia will be a good fit in there. And in the Kiwis, that's good for her to be in both of those levels, because she can kind of get a little bit of that sort of Georgia type training that she got, but we can maybe add a few twists. And then Ryan's perfect in the Mangoes. So if we can bring postgrads in that are kind of spread throughout the team, they're giving a benefit all the time. And we'd like to think that the program we're giving the college team is the best one we can give, right? Haley's not sacrificing anything by training with those guys. She's getting probably a super benefit from it. So that's how we're going to do it. We're going to be very selective about who becomes a post-grad here. We'd obviously like to evolve to a point soon where there are ASU grads that just continue doing that. And it seems to be working pretty well for us right now.
I think that's interesting. Because we've seen a good number of professionals, I feel like, start doing that. We see a few at Florida who are now training with the team. You know, we've seen other people at other programs do that, but that's interesting. You said logistically a pro group can be a lot. And I remember talking to Eric, your old coach, not too long ago about the group at North Baltimore. And I know he had mentioned it was a lot to just to manage all of those athletes as separate athletes rather than the team.
And I just think, you know, in 2016, I did it. I also did it in 2008 in Michigan. But, you know, you run the college morning practice, you run the pros morning practice. And the pros morning practice is probably their main practice of the day. Like we had at 9, it's really important practice. Then you run the college afternoon practice. Then you run the pros afternoon practice. So that's 8 hours a day of deck time. And no matter how motivated and focused you are, somebody's losing out on that, right? You're mailing in a couple of those practices and you're deciding which ones you're really going to focus on for that day. So sometimes it's the college team, sometimes it's the pros. So this way you have fewer pros, which, you know, I'm okay with that. I've done a big pros, smaller groups. They're all fine. And we can meet their needs better. And the program, the coaches are just better at coaching the program and designing it, I think.
Makes sense to me. Seems like a good idea.
And it takes like 3 years off your life to do a year like that, right? It takes you like 2 years to get over it once you're done. But maybe I'm just getting old. I don't know. Michael would say I'm just getting soft. Who knows?
So speaking of 3 years, we've got this 3-year quad now. We're in year one of three. But do you factor in last year as kind of maybe year one of a 4-year quad in terms of how you might think of training or what you might think of setting up a base for, you know, looking at these 2024 Olympics?
Rachel, you want to go for that?
Yeah, I think in terms of the athletes I'm coaching, we're definitely at a different point than some of the men, right? We're bringing people in that are just making huge leaps and bounds. So I think the strength of our athletes, they're a little bit younger and the ones that are looking ahead. So for me, it's just getting them in and just getting a base of the type of training we're trying to do with them, which is very different than when you're coming out of high school or international athletes. So to me, I do feel like this is our first year in this next block of training, right? For especially with the limitations we had last year with so many of them. So I know that might be a little different with some of the men who are a little older and have gone through the program for years. But on the women's side, to me, I was like, this is really our first year moving forward in this next block looking to 2024.
Yeah. I think on the, you know, some of our people, we had to spend so much time trying to put the work back into them to get them to a level last spring. They were definitely hurt at trials, even though we had a very good trials. I thought our trials were very good. We had some people that I feel like that was kind of their first year of the quad, and now they're doing really well. And you'll see them kind of light it up, hopefully, as we move forward this spring and sort of start going to some of these trips and doing some things. Once again, you know, it's like we had some COVID challenges last spring that really hurt some people at trials, right? And even through that, they came back and did incredible things. You probably wouldn't even recognize it unless you know, what was going on a daily basis. But it was, you know, hardly a regular year anyway. And even those who did go and swim at the Olympics, and I feel like we had a pretty good Olympics with the people that we took. Certainly Haley had a very good meet. Allison, you know, had a bunch of challenges and came through and had a pretty successful meet as well. But I just feel like the added year maybe didn't help some of those guys as much, but it did help some of the people who are going to Paris. So we'll see how that plays out.
Rachel, I am curious, as I've talked to a lot of coaches about this, but you know, you mentioned all these newcomers, freshmen and sophomores, are now kind of into this first real college season. And I'm curious about the energy, enthusiasm, just kind of the general aura that they bring to, you know, the Kiwis specifically, because that's a group that you work with on the women's side. That aura that they bring with double the amount of maybe fresher faces or fresher perspectives.
Well, there's good and bad to it, right? There's a lot of excitement, but then there's a lot they don't know. And so we have to really rely heavily on the older athletes in the group, the more experienced ones, because there's just a really strong balance of a lot to learn about how a season breaks down. You know, we have some internationals. Charlie Brown from Australia is a tremendous swimmer, but used to swim in her 4 a.m. long course. So there's just a lot of things to learn, and how the speed of a dual meet. We went up to Washington State and we were great the first quarter of that meet. They went out excited. And then about halfway through it, they were like, oh, wait, we have to swim a third time, a fourth time. And so there's a ton of enthusiasm, but also an equal amount of a learning curve. So just take it day by day and competition by competition and try to get them up to speed on how the collegiate program works and how those meets work and what our training looks like. But it's a lot of fun. They're excited and the group has a great energy. I mean, I think all our groups do. There's just a lot of positive energy on deck, a lot of, you know, you can hear it from anywhere, laughing and having a good time, but also, you know, knowing how important the work is. So.
And then, so just to wrap things up, you guys were through the invite season. What's Christmas training going to look like for these next few weeks, especially after they get back from the holidays? And especially as you move into Pac-12s, again, the first conference meet they've had in 2 years.
Well, I'll kind of speak specifically to what my group's doing, but I told you I decided to take a very long developmental period up to the invite, meaning that we didn't do any power training. We did some lactate training. Come on, we did a little speed work, right? But we did a lot of capacity type work. We did a lot of things that sort of challenged them mentally. And as we kind of finish up, they're having their exams this week, so they're doing sort of voluntary training, and then we have a little block before they go home of about a week and a half. You know, the volume will be higher because we're adding a practice. We'll go 10 instead of 9. And then I'm going to be switching to focus where we're having power training days. We're doing a lot more specific work towards their specific events. And even the Christmas training, when they come back, when the volume will be higher than normal, it'll be done in a way that's much more specific than we did in the fall. Because there's really not that much time, right? We're going to be in the heart of our kind of dual meet season in January, then February is Pac-12s, then we're going into NC2A. So I think we're just about to sort of make the switch from this sort of more generalized training to things that are much more specific and oriented towards individuals and their specific events.
And I think on the women, we're going to use this time to really start honing in on our relays. We put up relays A and B that were exactly the same because so many of them had never swum yards or never swum a meet. So I think it gave a lot of them an idea of what collegiate relays are all about. And I had athletes coming up saying, I want to be the fourth on this A relay. And I know what I need to go now for us to qualify, because we didn't get our relays qualified at midseason on the women's side, like the men were able to. And so I think they're really inspired to take those to the next level. And so trying to have some opportunities when we do over winter training to hone in on how each person can really contribute to the team.
Well, with that, Rachel, Bob, I really appreciate you guys taking the time this morning to sit down and chat. And I'm excited to see where the Sun Devils go the rest of the season.
Thanks for having us. I really appreciate it. It's fun.
Thanks, Coleman.
You've been listening to the Swim Swam Podcast. Stay tuned for new episodes every week. You can take Swim Swam Podcast on the go by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. Look for links in the description below, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more videos as well.